Welcome to Cogitations, a show where each week your host, anthropologist and UC Davis faculty Tarek El-Haik, encounters and talks with fellow thinkers, composers, philosophers, visual artists, filmmakers, and media scholars who cogitate with images, concepts, and forms. These cogitations are more than reflections. They are an expression of a way of life, an antidote to our dimmed access to the infinite, and an invitation to a joyful experience of our finitude. The show takes its name from a concept that has been key in both the philosophical work of the 12th century polymath Averroes and the interplanetary music of composer Sun Ra. Cogitations sound like the enchanting voices, songs, and music of birds of flames that have entered into our dark world. Well, hello, this is your host, Tarek El-Haik. Cogitation starts airing today. As with in-person teaching, live radio will have to wait until the storm passes. Needless to say, this program does not reflect the opinions of the staff, management, ownership, or sponsorship of KDVS. In this inaugural program, we will try to think about the work that is enabled by radio. In times that the great German philosopher Hannah Arendt called dark times. What does she mean by dark times? In her book of the same title, Arendt says something quite interesting. She says that dark times, and I quote here, are as such not identical with the monstrosities of this century, which indeed are of a horrible novelty. She's talking, of course, here about the 20th century. Dark times today, in contrast, are not only not new, they are no rarity in history, although they were perhaps unknown in American history, which otherwise has its fair share, past and present, of crime and disaster. That even in the darkest of times we have the right to expect some illumination, and that such illumination may well come less from theories and concepts than from the uncertain, flickering, and often weak light that some men and women in their lives and their works will kindle under almost all circumstances and shed over the time span that was given them on earth. This conviction is the inarticulate background against which these profiles were drawn. The profile of these men and women that might bring some illumination to our lives in dark times. So it's, in a way, doing radio in dark times is a way of saying that perhaps radio too can bring some kind of illumination. In his reflections on radio, another great German thinker, the cultural critic and media philosophy pioneer, Walter Benjamin, notes something quite interesting, which I would like to share with you. It's something that has to do also with how I think and approach at least what radio can do and what it affords. And he says something interesting in a beautiful text called Reflections on Radio. And he says something like this: beginners commit the error, and I consider myself to be a beginner. Beginners commit the error of believing that they are holding their lecture in front of a more or less large public, which just happens to be invisible. Nothing could be further from the truth, Benjamin says. The radio listener is almost always alone, and even assuming that one reaches thousands of listeners, one is only ever reaching thousands of single listeners. One should always act as if one is speaking to a single person, or to lots of single people. If you wish, they are never many gathered together. So I'm obviously going to be committing some beginner's mistakes, and I hope you're going to be patient with me. I plead guilty to the charge of being an academic. So I just wanted to, kind of share with you some of these things. So to put it in my own words, I think that radio has a way to enable us to curate our souls and the solitude that we find ourselves in dark times. So why not think of the soul, for example, as something of the order of the seeker button on your radio, on your car radios. Something that would sound like turning the dial and move from one frequency to another within a wide range of radio waves, searching for the program that you want to listen to. And I hope if you're tuning into this program, you would, you know, stay tuned. So here, you know, I don't know, the radio host and the radio listener, you, we kind of encounter one another like cybernetic time travelers in a wild ecology of mind, an ecology of bad and good ideas, an ecology of good and bad sounds. You know, I'm thinking here of the work of an anthropologist that was kind of influential on my way of thinking, Gregory Bateson. So we're doing some kind of soul searching during these dark times. And since I'm kind of approaching these radio cogitations, if you will, as a series of curatorial experiments, so, you know, we will be having guests that will join us in coming weeks that will come to cogitate with us or think with us about some of the themes that are of contemporary relevance, but also themes that have nothing to do with the actual situation that we are dealing with. I think it's important to, all the while addressing the crisis, the public health crisis, the disaster that is taking place, and all of the suffering that is taking place, I think one, when possible, and when one can, one needs to keep doing what one was doing before, you know, the storm and the tsunami hit the coast of our lives. So in coming weeks, I'm hoping, you know, if everything goes according to plan, and we cannot predict at this point, that we will be cogitating on contagion with the French anthropologist Frédéric Keck, who's written extensively about the SARS outbreak, in particular, of 2003, and including a book in which he talks about how the kind of anticipation of the bird flu pandemics has changed relations between birds and humans in China. We will also have with us medical and psychological anthropologist Christiana Giordano, and with her we will try to tease out the dimension of the forces that are traversing us today and how these forces might shape our dreams and nightmares. With the film scholar Luca Caminati, who resides in Montreal, in Canada, we will kind of sing our love for soccer or football. And of course, we will lament the current state of affairs in which, you know, there is a world without football, which to us is, you know, difficult to tolerate. We will also have Jack Lesra, who has a new book called The Wild Republic, and we will talk a little bit about what he means by the concept of the Wild Republic. And we will be revisiting some ancient thinkers in Greece and in ancient Rome. We will also have my colleague from the University of Southern California, Erin Graf Zivin, who has written a beautiful book in which she reflects in some passages of the book about the role of the university today in relationship to larger events that the university has at times difficulty being exposed to. So we will be thinking about how we can remediate the university, what she calls the passive university. With my friend and colleague Ilaria Busoni, who lives in Rome, we will talk about two interesting and perhaps key figures of 20th century psychoanalysis and psychotherapy, the French Jacques Lacan and the British psychoanalyst Winnicott. and we will talk about their differences and some affinities between their work, but I think they will help us think also about what is it that we do when we practice radio. What does it mean to listen, to speak, to find a voice, to experiment with voice when one does radio? Is radio a form of collective psychotherapy to a certain extent? With the Mexican photographer Patricia Lagarde, we will be discussing a series of correspondence and that she and I have been engaged in over the past months, and it's been really a real pleasure to work with her. And I've recently written a piece about her where I kind of meditate or cogitate on her cyanotypes, you know, these kind of very interesting species of photographs that are blue. So I kind of think about her cyanotypes as what I call photographs that sing the blues, and I think we are going to be singing the blues in coming weeks. With Peter Limbrick, who's my colleague in the University of California in Santa Cruz, we will be talking about the work of a great figure of North African modernism, the filmmaker and Tangiers-based film artist Moumen Smihi, who has some beautiful kind of seascapes of Tangiers and the zone between Morocco and Spain. And I look forward to talking about his new book about Moumen Smihi. With my colleague Jennifer Justin, we will be talking about one of the really great figures of modernism, another figure of modernism, in Mexico City this time. I'm talking about the work of the late German artist, curator, and theorist, Matthias Goeritz, who has designed and curated fascinating sculptural architectural environments in Mexico City. And what I love about some of these environments, in particular Torre Satellite, or the satellite towers, in Mexico City, or in Ciudad Satellite specifically, is the kind of island-like environment that these environments enable. They even enable some kind of, you know, revelry and flânerie and kind of dreamlike states, which I find fascinating. And I look forward to talking about Jennifer Justin's new book on Matthias Goeritz. I think it's really a watershed intervention. And finally, we will be engaging one of our very hours, Melissa Salm, who's a PhD candidate in the anthropology department, and we will be talking about her fascinating fieldwork on the human-animal interface, and that will lead to a conversation about the kind of aesthetics that viral pathogens can enable, for better or for worse. So I like to think of radio as something that captures, you know, the kind of the state of mind that we find ourselves in, our moods, right? And the mood of these dark times that I was talking about earlier on. Almost, you know, in the same way as, you know, a good psychoanalyst, right? Or a therapist listens and hears the troubles of his patients. And I really think that what I find really exciting about cinema, and that's certainly one of the medium that I feel particularly close to in addition to radio, that some of these moods, some of these states of mind can in fact be heard in the soundtracks of certain films. It's as if these dark times and their moods arrive to us like an impossible memory. The kind of impossible memory that you find in the films of Chris Marker, in particular, Sans Soleil, which is a beautiful meditation on time and memory and what he calls impossible memory. And there's this beautiful passage in Sans Soleil where sans soleil in French, meaning sunless, without sun, right? So dark times without sun, something like that. There is this idea that he meditates on Hitchcock's Vertigo, which is shot in San Francisco. The story of Vertigo is of a very powerful love affair between Scotty and Madeleine. It's a story in, you know, of a man who looks for a woman who's has already passed, but whose death he might have precipitated himself. And she appears to him as a series of doubles and doppelgangers. That's something that I think that, you know, listening to that kind of impossible memory is of interest to me here.
He wrote me that only one film had been capable of portraying impossible memory, insane memory, Alfred Hitchcock's Vertigo. In the spiral of the titles, he saw time covering a field ever wider as it moved away, a cyclone whose present moment contains motionless the eye. In San Francisco, he had made his pilgrimage to all the film's locations, the florist Podesta Baldocchi, where James Stewart spies on Kim Novak, he the hunter, she the prey, or was it the other way around? The tiles hadn't changed. He had driven up and down the hills of San Francisco where Jimmy Stewart, Scotty, follows Kim Novak, Madeline. It seems to be a question of trailing, of enigma, of murder, but in truth it's a question of power and freedom, of melancholy and dazzlement, so carefully coded within the spiral that you could miss it and not discover immediately that this vertigo of space in reality stands for the vertigo of time. He had followed all the trails, even to the cemetery at Mission Dolores, where Madeleine came to pray at the grave of a woman long since dead, whom she should not have known. He followed Madeleine, as Scotty had done, to the Museum of the Legion of Honor, before the portrait of a dead woman she should not have known, and on the portrait, as in Madeleine's hair, the spiral of time. A small Victorian hotel where Madeleine disappeared had disappeared itself. Concrete had replaced it at the corner of Edie and Gow. On the other hand, the Sequoia Cut was still in Muir Woods. On it, Madeleine traced the short distance between two of those concentric lines that measured the age of the tree and said, "Here I was born, and here I died." He remembered another film in which this passage was quoted. The Sequoia was the one in the Jardin des Plantes in Paris, and the hand pointed to a place outside the tree, outside of time. From this fake tower, the only thing that Hitchcock had added, he imagined Scotty as time's fool of love, finding it impossible to live with memory without falsifying it, inventing a double for Madeleine in another dimension of time, a zone that would belong only to him, and from which he could decipher the undecipherable story that had begun at Golden Gate, when he had pulled Madeleine out of San Francisco Bay, when he had saved her from death before casting her back to death. Or was it the other way around?
And sometimes these states of mind that I was talking about, you know, that these moods of the kind of dark times that we are currently experiencing, they reach us as cinematic small fragments. They're fragments of cinematic scenes that we recall or that involuntarily emerge in our minds, almost washing over us from the vast ocean that makes up this infinite realm of cinematic images. It's like if, you know, in a way, it's like when our soul tunes in to that ocean, like a searchlight of sorts, or a radio dial moving from frequency to frequency. And then there is a, you know, host of filmmakers that I can think of, at least some whose fragments are you are about to kind of listen to. and their images, but they are to be listened to in a different way. I'm thinking here about the films of the Giannichians in Italy, or Jesse Lerner in Los Angeles, Fellini, Antonioni, and the late Chilean filmmaker Raul Ruiz. You know, what I would, you know, something very close to, I'd like to call, you know, cinema of the soul. And it's a cinema that has that force to it.
Avec quelle catégorie, avec quel cadre de pensée, est-ce que ce Chinois ou cet Arapèche pourrait nous connaître nous-mêmes? Sinon, avec...
Qu'ont t'a dit les deux autres? Ce n'est plus... la présence de Dieu, c'est l'absence de Dieu grâce sur l'homme.
There is no question about it. I can feel it. I can feel it. I can feel it.
parto.
E dove vai?
Non lo so, parto, non lo so.
In vettura, in vettura. Vai.
Ma che cosa vai a fare allora?
Non lo so, devo partire, vado via.
Ma non stavi bene qua? Ciao, Moral. Ciao, addio.
Addio, Fido.
Well, folks, I think this is the time to wrap up, and by way of wrapping up, I'd like to, you know, give a series of shout-outs to the creators and thinkers whose voices, words, and sounds inspire these this first radio cogitation: Hannah Arendt, Federico Fellini, Jesse Lerner, Raoul Ruiz, Walter Benjamin, Gilles Deleuze, and many more whose voices are smuggled into this this 30-minute radio session. And we can close now with a wonderful piece by Sun Ra, whose interplanetary travels certainly can illuminate us today. And I want to close with a piece that inspired the very name of this radio program. The piece is called Cogitations, and it's from the album Monorails and Satellites. It's an album that was recorded in 66 or 67, I believe. And it's one of his earliest LP. And interestingly, it consists only of piano solos. And Cogitation is a really interesting piece because it's nervous, it's angular, it's erratic, it almost has this kind of noirish feel to it. Think of a child who's kind of hitting the piano keys in staccato fashion, right? And it has this kind of interesting counterpoint to it. And it's nervous, right? And we are nervous, and we are trying to cogitate among these nervous times that we are living in, but let's hang in there and keep being together alone. So without further ado, and certainly farewell until next week, Sun Ra's Cogitation.